Genesis 13, 10, verse 10. Lot shows him all of the plain of Jordan and journeyed east. Again, he journeyed back to where he'd already been. That's always the metaphor. In fact, the word east in the Hebrew is a fascinating word. And this is the way it's spelled by transliteration. But it's Kedmar, Q-E-D-M-A-H. It's one of those Q words that doesn't have a U, but you can't use it in Scrabble. Kedma.
Just in case you're
about to. Kedma. Kedma means before, aforetime, or ancient time. Before, that which is old in time, or that which is past. East means going backwards.
Interesting. I know that's my purpose.
You know, because
something I go with what I know. You know, oh well, I know this, so I'll go back, you know, the old way.
Okay. God says you never go with what you know, because you wouldn't be where you are if what you know was what you wanted to do. That's a weird thing. You understand that? You wouldn't be where you are if what you wanted to do was where you are. Always, in spirit, you go without knowing. You go to uncharted territory. This is very difficult. Do we have a... Do you have a... Alka-Seltzer Plus down here? Alka-Seltzer Plus? Okay, yeah, please. Abraham dwelt in the land, Lot dwelt in the cities. That's another. What did Lot do? That's what I want to see. And what did Abraham encourage Lot to do? When they ended up with this, notice it says their herdsmen were the ones that were fighting. So in the natural, in fact, natural religion says, okay, we will compromise here and stop the fight. That's what every one of you want to do. You want to compromise here and say peace, peace when there is no peace and stop the fight. Okay, I'll give you this part and you take that part. The moment you do that, you have created, all you've done is you've manifested in the natural what exists in you spiritually. In other words, you're seeing duality. And so you've created duality. You take this part, I'll take this part, whether it's the argument or the house or whatever it is. That's why a divorce is the perfect example of duality. Because now there was one life, now there are two totally separate lives. And in that divorce, no matter how much they try to be friends, there's never been in history of the world a friendly divorce. It's impossible. There is a divorce that causes people to sometimes put on an air of sophistication, but it's never ever, by true definition of friend, it's never ever friendly. Now, we have this unique case here. We have people who were married for a very brief time. They can try now for the rest of their lives to be friends, and they can't until both of them die, and both of them accept the cross. At the cross, then there can be new life. And it has to be daily. Otherwise, you'll be tempted to pick up a memory or two. Can you see how flesh wants to compromise? Because compromise means I don't have to go to the cross. Okay, so what did Lot do? First thing he did is he separated from Abram, even no doubt after he had heard the promise. So he walked away from the promise. His riches and Abram's caused the separation. The place he went was judged after the seeing of the eyes. In other words, he sowed to the flesh. He took this beautiful plain, the most great, best watered area, the best for whatever it was he was doing. It had the best resources. Whatever it was he thought about that was good was there. He looked eastward, backward, and he said, I'll take that. Because he judged after his senses. Now here, Abraham probably wanted it. You understand? Abraham probably wanted, they probably flipped a lamb and it came up. Right. It probably came, and Abraham thought he had sure things, it's coming up heads.
That's 3 out of 5. Oh, no.
But can you see Abraham, but God was protecting Abram at all others' cost. God, no matter what mistake Abram has made thus far, and no matter what mistake he'll make in the future, God will always protect him. Now that's awesome. Very rich guy.
He's like, everybody saw him and said, oh, look at this new rich guy, blah, blah, blah. And Abraham was out in the desert. He just drifted somewhere.
Nobody knew it. Just living in a tent. But what happened?
As soon as Lot got out of view, God said,
what happened was, he sowed to the flesh, and of the flesh he reaped Sodom and Gomorrah.
He lost everything.
He lost everything. He reaped corruption. And it's now the lowest place on earth. It's the smelliest place on earth, if you've ever been there. Did any of you, where's that? You went to Israel, didn't you, Lee? Did you go to Israel? It's the smelliest place on earth. It smells like, you remember how rotten eggs smell, that sulfur odor, sulfur? That's how it smells. Huh?
It smells like
toxic. Worse, 10,000 times worse. Okay, so he separated from Abram after he'd heard the promise. His riches caused the separation. He judged after the seeing of the eyes. He turned back to his own past. Now, the real truth of what happened here is, in one sense, is God had to wait for the separation of Lot before he could further the revelation of Abraham. That's another way of seeing this.
In the type, Lot, does that mean that Lot is a piece of Abraham or a facet?
It's his best friend, who he was closest to.
So separated from
the flesh.
The loved
ones. Yeah. Now, we're going to see what that additional revelation was in a minute. Now, Abraham's seed is compared to these three things throughout here. He's compared to the dust of the earth, the stars of heaven, and the sand of the sea. The number of stars in heaven now known by the various high-powered telescopes is uncountable. It's not knowable, so many. The amount of sand in the sea is not knowable, and the amount of dust of the earth, the grains of dust, are not knowable. Now, either God was speaking total hyperbole here, or he's telling us something interesting, because the nation of Israel has never been large. It's never been in these numbers. The only thing that has been in these numbers is the number of sperm cells of a man and of the human race. The combined sperm cells that a man produces and the combined population of the human race probably approach the dust of the earth, the stars of heaven, and the sand of the sea. For every time a male ejaculates, it's 100 million sperm cells. What?
Well, I covered bases for everybody.
Are you bragging?
No.
You understand? That's why I want you to hear Hear this. Either God's lying here, which your hyperbole is a lie. Do you understand that? You're exaggerating. It's a lie. God doesn't lie. He cannot lie. Therefore, the three things that Israel is, Abraham's seed is compared to proves that it could never be the nation of Israel. It has to be the seed, the sperma of God. You understand? Okay. Okay, let me talk about Hebron a minute. In every historical ancient document, the farther back you go, there are only two cities that rank in terms of the oldest in the world. One is Damascus, and one is Hebron. They are... Yeah, they predate every known place. It's Hebron is in a beautiful valley with it's spread with it's spring-fed pools. What do you call that when it's the
artesian.
Artesian well? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three types of the promise. The three, every one of you are one of those types. Lived there for many, many years. They are all buried there. Now, in their place of burial, a mosque is built over the tombs of these patriarchs. And it's really a freaky deal. They've got the mosque. It's a huge mosque, almost a city block. And then in the place where the burial cave is, it's just beat up. It's like it looks like you're out in the country and you've run across this old well that somebody had boarded up and the boards are rotting. And it's because they believe that if they go over or look into it, there's something evil will happen. So they built the mosque there to pray at and to bring, it's one of the five holy places of of Muslims. but they can't really fix it very nice.
Because of Abraham,
Isaac, and Jacob, all of them. Except not Jacob, Abraham and Isaac. Okay? Huh?
Where's Jacob?
Well, he's there too, but they're not too happy about Jacob. Jacob became Israel, remember?
Oh,
yeah.
It's the one where Adam's supposed to be.
Yeah. Where who?
Adam.
Yeah, the cave at Malpa. It was David's royal residence for 7.5 years. It was David's royal residence for 7.5 years. It's one of the cities of refuge, which we haven't studied yet, which we'll get into. It's fascinating. The present town is called Khalil, and you didn't. You got a K-H-I-S, because of my A's sometimes look like an I and an S. Khalil. And Khalil in Muslim is, or Islam, means friend of God in Arabic. Now, the interesting part of that word is, when they smuggled me out of Lebanon, they gave me a phony passport, and in the phony passport, my name was Robert Khalil.
Hi, Bob.
Now, let me just go into this myth book a minute. Huh? You got it? Oh, you like it? Well, it says it likes you too.
Gee, did you underline that?
Yes, the only book I've ever allowed myself to underline. Well, because, well, that's another story. While Abraham is encamped here at Hebron, he's going to hear from the fugitive that Lot and his family have been captured at Sodom. Now we're going to see in the next few chapters the intensity of the battle increases. At once he led 318 retainers to the rescue. And then he followed Chedorlaomer's army northward, coming up with the enemy at Dan. And he attacked them by night on both flanks, slaughtered them, and pursued the rest. Covered all their booty. Now this is what we're about to study. So Well, let me wait. We're going to wait on this. Yeah, never mind. Let's go to Genesis 14. Up till now, you've been able to have thoughts about things, opinions about an infinite number of things, and judgments about things and people with impunity, or medium impunity. Most of you didn't speak them because you were afraid that if you spoke your thoughts or your opinions, you'd get blasted, or you would, in the world, you don't speak them because you're afraid. I'm afraid I'll hurt someone's feelings. If you go from the basis that there is no thing in you or in the world that isn't a first cause of God, then you have to come to the position where you begin to look anew at what you have been mistakenly calling your opinions or your judgments or your thoughts about stuff, ideas, etc. You are now a people that know the law, or at least know enough of the law to know the demands of the law. The law requires that before, you understand that an opinion or a thought about, or all those are all judgments. You know, if you like something, it's only a judgment. It has no basis. If you dislike something, it's only a judgment. It has no basis in truth. All you hearing me? That means you have to stop worshiping your opinions right now. What it does, and your judgments. To worship him means either to think him bad and I have to hide him, or to think him good and stand on him. Both of them are worshiping. Ed, in his hatred of his own judgments, is worshiping his judgments. No, by giving them importance, negative or positive. Now, Lee, on the other hand, has all kinds of opinions about the way things should be, and she has a real difficulty getting away from that. You understand? And so in her case, it causes her a whole lot of heartache and aloneness and separation because she thinks she shouldn't have, or somebody else thinks she shouldn't have, and you get into all these weird things that happen. Okay, I want to say publicly to both of you, you're exactly as you should be. The only thing is now, you're about to grow up. And you have to pass from adolescence, in which you can speak and thought or think or deal with judgments as you know, with impunity, to adulthood, in which you must test your opinions and ideas and thoughts and judgments. Well, it's hard for both. I mean, I'm not saying this to pick on you two, but you two are the prime examples. It's almost approaching a psychosis, what the world would call a psychosis. The reason is, your office in the body of Christ has to do with those things that you're doing. You're not supposed to be different than you are. You're supposed to be handling it different. Now listen. I want you both to have all the opinions you want and all the judgments you want. But just apply a simple test to it. Is it true? Does it benefit others? No. Four-way. That's been your problem, man. You've all this time you thought it was a three-way test. Okay. The test is, it must meet the requirement of a witness according to this law, which you both have subscribed to. This says that one opinion or one judgment has absolutely no merit in the sight of the law. You must, you're being trained to be an attorney. That's all that's happening, a spiritual attorney. And you're being trained to hear your, whatever it is that comes to you, and then decide whether or not it has evidentiary value or not. Now, what happens with an attorney, he doesn't care whether something is right or wrong. He doesn't worship anything, but he doesn't get caught in the bind of the layman. He's taught not to give breath to his opinions or his judgments. You understand? He's only concerned with what will make it in the court. What's admissible and what isn't. That's why the world hates attorneys. Because they don't have any, they don't have any morals, they don't have any opinions, they don't have any, you know. That's why a whole lot of attorneys that end up in politics stop practicing law, because they know the public will vote them out of office. But here it's perfect, it's a perfect type. You have to be in the same boat. All of your thoughts and opinions, and I'm just talking to them, they're this, all of you, have to pass the test. Does it meet the requirements of evidence in the court? And this is the court. But you have to go through the process. Rather than worship the judgment or worship the opinion, you have to take it through the evidentiary process. And that requires at least two, preferably three, other witnesses. Now, that witnesses could be an individual who agrees with you, but it can't be just one, it has to be two. It could be a point in the law, in the scripture, or it could be something, you know, some ancient first source book. But you have to test in terms of whether or not the opinion is reliable. This is important. It's important for each one of you. Now, the thing that this will happen, the thing that this causes, is more interchange. Well, you know, I've been telling you for all this time that your opinions are invalid, but this is the reason they're invalid. Put them to the test. I mean, do you understand me? You can't. Then you bring it to either to, you can bring it to me, since I'm, or you can bring it to one of the elders. Well, don't bring it to Matt tonight because he's not here. Or don't bring it, but you can bring it to him, but if you can make him understand it. But think about it from the standpoint of using the elders as a sounding board, nothing else. Okay, now, with regard to this process, if you really do this, you will be on my phone. I mean, that's what I'll end up. You'll end up calling me 43 times a day. Okay. Well, I want to encourage you publicly to use the elders. That's what the elder. Let them begin elding. And use, and hear me. The elders are two couples. They're not Matt and Daryl. The elders are Daryl and September. Now, September doesn't think she's capable of being an elder, spiritually, but I don't care what she thinks. I know what I know. You feel left out and weird. You don't have to do that anymore. But call them. I mean, use them liberally. Okay? I mean, I've got more on my plate than I can eat, believe it or not. You can't believe the problems I have daily with everybody in the group thinking they have to talk to me. We're going to have to change my phone number again, so. But anyway, it's important. This is an arena that you can gain incredible freedom from. I had to go through this for years and years alone. I had to go through this process of testing everything by two or three witnesses, including the same thing, the same judgments that he has, you know, about people and things. I can honestly say with full assurance that I have nothing against anybody on the face of the earth, without exception. No. That's an incredible thing. I can honestly say there's nowhere else on earth I'd rather be, without exception. I can honestly say there's nothing else in the universe I'd rather do than what I'm doing. Now, I want each of you to be able to say that also. That's what it means to fulfill your destiny, and I promise you, you will see that. Amen? And I want you to also say this other thing. I accept what I am, for I am what I am by the grace of God. It's a small thing if I'm judged by you, for I judge not even mine own self. Judge nothing before the time. You can't. Trust me, of all people on the face of the earth, I don't want to judge myself.